In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today in our first reading, as shocking as it might sound, God's people have just returned from exile in Babylonia. They return to the promised land. They know that the priority is to build the temple, rebuild it, to build what would later be called the second temple. But what happens after a while? They start getting a little slack. They start taking some time off. They start thinking, this really isn't too big of a priority. And instead, they start to build their own homes. Today, the prophet is chastising them. How can you sit in your nice homes and the temple is not complete? Do you not think that God wants the temple concluded, that he wants the temple rebuilt? And he's exhorting them, get back to work. Rebuild this temple that worship can be offered to God. And of course, the reflection of the prophet, they were worried about their own homes, about themselves, just about their families. They forgot that they were a part of God's people, that God's people work together in order to accomplish God's work. And that begins with the worship of God. That begins in the temple. Now that understanding can help us today as we celebrate the feast of Padre Pio, because Padre Pio was one of us. He was one of the member of God's people. God blessed him and endowed him, not simply for himself, but in order to build all of us up. See, Padre Pio came on the scene at a time when so many in the church thought, well, that whole supernatural stuff, all that kind of mystical stuff, we need to get away from that. That hurts us because contemporary people aren't interested in that anymore. So you have to be apologetic and kind of ignore that part. Difference, we saw that even in the church. This is when confession began to fade away and the anointing of the sick. This is where First Fridays disappeared, First Saturdays disappeared. Various other devotions drawn from private revelations began to disappear. We were embarrassed about those things. Right? We wanted to be more enlightened, give a more reasonable presentation of the faith. And we thought we were so smart and so wise. We were taking care of our own houses, forgetting the temple of God. And what did God do? Well, he broke through all that. And he gave us this poor, humble Franciscan friar in southern Italy who received powerful, powerful supernatural gifts. And we had to ask ourselves, well, wait a minute. Is this just some crazy friar that we should ignore, make sure that no one knows about him? Or is this a reminder to us that this supernatural, the mystical, is as much a part of our faith as reason and as the explanation of our faith in a systematic way, that we need both, that we need to allow our spirits to soar even as we elevate our minds by sacred doctrine. And the question was left out for a while. The jury was out for some time. What do we do with this Padre Pio? Right. And many in the church, they were embarrassed of him. In fact, even the authorities of the church silenced him. He was not allowed to celebrate the sacraments in public because, well, he's kind of a crazy friar and that's not really who we are anymore. And what did Padre Pio do? Did he wage war? Did he rally against the church on social media? Did he bounce around conferences? The real test of reformers, dear friends, is obedience. Obedience. The church authorities were wrong, but Padre Pio, he accepted their decisions. He refrained from offering mass in public. He refrained from hearing confessions that broke his heart. He remained in his friary. He did everything the church asked of him. And by his obedience, he won the day. By his obedience, he showed that it was God working through him. Padre Pio himself would say, I am the first one who marvels at what God does through me. He was shocked. The miracles, the power, this bilocation, the elevations, the miracles, the healings, the stigmata. He didn't want any of that. All he wanted was Jesus Christ. He wanted to give his entire life to Jesus Christ. And the Lord saw in him a willing vessel. And the Lord said, I will use you to teach my church, to raise my people, to lift them up, to remind them to pay attention to the temple and not simply to their own homes. And Padre Pio accepted those gifts. And those gifts were ratified by his obedience. He never waged war against the church. He never spoke ill of church authorities. He never rallied the cause. He had a sizable following. He did nothing of the sort. Whatever was asked of him, he did. For the same God who gave him the stigmata and the elevations and the bilocations and the healing and the prophecy was the same God who gave him the church. And he would rally around Mother Church as he would also show a deference, a reverence to the stigmata itself. And God blessed him. God blessed him. Padre Pio won the day. And when the naysayers against him, who wanted to be more enlightened, as they died and have been forgotten in history, who can remember the critics of Padre Pio? No one. Because they died with their lack of faith. But we all today are celebrating this beautiful feast throughout the Universal Church of this humble friar who could barely read, who did not want greatness by the world's standards, who simply, like St. Francis of Assisi, wanted to love Jesus. And the Lord raised him up. And he reminds us, his life, the gifts given to him, that the mystical and the supernatural are as much a part of our faith as the logical and the reasonable. We need both. And God blesses us with both. Years ago, I was able to be there at San Giovanni Rotondo and to offer a mass as a student priest. As I was walking around San Giovanni, this old woman comes up to me. I'm wearing my cassock and she says to me, "Hey, hey." It's only little Italian women can do, right? "Hey, hey." I was like, "What? I think she's going to ask me for money? What's happening, right?" "Hey, hey." "Yes, ma'am." "You know Padre Pio?" She asked me, "You know Padre Pio?" I'm thinking to myself, no, the guy died several decades ago. How would I know Padre Pio, right? She said, "You know how Padre Pio?" I'm like, "What? What are you asking me? What? Do you know Padre Pio?" I said, "What? So you need to know Padre Pio. If you know Padre Pio, you're a good priest." And she's right. If we know Padre Pio, not only is it a good priest who knows him, but if we know him, we're good Christians. Because he was sent to us as a gift, a reminder, dear friends. Miracles still happen. God still answers prayer. Grace still works among his people, among God's people. The supernatural, the mystical, the unexplainable, they still happen. And as Christians, we can't forget that. We cannot allow our secular age to rob that richness from us. So Padre Pio was given to us to remind us that God is still here. God still wants to work among his people. God still blesses his people with miracles. We must be attentive to our homes, but never forget the temple of God. Never forget to turn to God, to give him your whole heart, for each of us to worship him. For it is by turning to him that God can bless us. And those miracles that the world tells us they don't happen anymore, we will see them in our own lives. And we will even be ourselves instruments of those miracles. For God is here. God does the supernatural. God still wants to work among each of us.